Welcome to Choice Tunes. You know what we do? We invite some person in. We ask them a bit about their life, where they've been and the different jobs they've done and the sort of music that's had an influence on their lives. Now, the lady I'm about to introduce is Libby Anderson. Now, we had Libby in late last year. She was involved with a group called Quilts for Orphans. Terrific organisation. But we thought it'd be nice to have Libby in and just talk about herself. So, welcome, Libby.
Thank you, Alan. Good to be here.
It's good to have you in. Now, first of all, we've got to know a little bit about you. Where were you born, Libby?
I was born in Mornington Peninsula.
It's a lovely spot down there.
It is, yes.
So were you brought up down in Mornington?
Yeah, grew up in Frankston till I was four, and then Mum and Dad bought a small farm in Merricks North.
So
grew up there for, my primary years, secondary years.
So the whole the schooling,
Schooling, right.
So what was your first part-time job, maybe while you're at school or whatever?
Yes, it was while I was at school. I had two. They kind of started at the same time. One was washing dishes at Arthur's Seat. There was a milk bar and cafe and restaurant and, got a job washing dishes.
Do you remember?
I can't remember. It was just, on Arthur's Seat.
Sort of on the left-hand side, opposite where the chairlift is.
Yes,
And your other one?
And the other one was picking cherries at an orchard in Red Hill.
Blimey, that'd be hard work, wouldn't it?
It was, but I enjoyed it,
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So then, what was your first full-time job?
Teaching. I graduated from high school, went to Teachers College.
In Burwood or?
In Frankston. Was Frankston State College.
Remember that?
Yeah. And then I went teaching in a small independent school near Castlemaine. So I did that for about 4 years. Moved back to Melbourne and did special ed study for 12 months and then worked as a visiting teacher in Gippsland and then got married, moved to Lilydale and had been teaching.
I want to come back to the teaching in a minute because I particularly want to talk about the special ed and all that. Mm-hmm. But first of all, John Denver, Country Roads, what made you, what part of your life has that played?
That was from my high school years. It was the first song that I learnt to play on the guitar with chords.
So you play the guitar?
Yes, I'm a bit rusty now.
All right, let's listen to it.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like the breeze. Country roads. In the morning hour, she calls me. The radio
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and I'm talking to Libby. Libby, you went through Teachers College.
Yes.
And then back in those days, and I know you're not that old, but I know some of the education department, you had to go to a country school. Did you go to Castlemaine because you had to, or was that a choice?
No, it was a choice. It was just... I graduated from Teachers College at a time where there was a glut of teachers. Oh. I know at the moment we're very, very short of teachers.
Yep.
So I had my name down to teach with the education department, but we were advised we had to do casual relief teaching and just maybe hope that a position would come up. So I started to apply to independent schools and got a job.
Sorry, when you say it's an independent school, like who ran it? Is it a local board or
it was
a
local board. It was it was called Olivet Christian College in Campbell's Creek, and it had a board, a small board. So it was only a very small school, and they were going through a registration process. So it was good experience for a starting out teacher.
I know Campbell Creek because it's a pretty small town at the best of times. All right, so can I ask you around what age? I don't want to know your age, but around what age you were when you went there?
22.
So how did it feel like as a 22-year-old single girl who's probably never lived away from home, all of a sudden moves away from your family who are at Merricks up to a place like Castlemaine, which is probably two and a half hours away? Like, was it daunting when you first got there?
It was daunting, but I'd been involved with Girl Guides, and so I linked in with Girl Guides and Rangers. So that was the older group, and there was a small ranger unit, so that was helpful to kind of link in.
Because you wouldn't have known anybody in Campbell's Creek, would you?
No.
I think that's... I suppose you've got to do what you've got to do for a job, but I think that's pretty gutsy for a 22-year-old to just sort of up and sort of board, or did you board? Or
My mum and dad had a caravan, so while I was looking for board, I said, can you tow the caravan up for me? And so I lived in caravan for about 6 weeks until I found somewhere to board.
There's not a lot of 22-year-olds even now that would do that.
I think I was inspired by my grandmother on my dad's side.
Yep.
She was a teacher way back in the... 1910, 1912, and she went out. She grew up in Charters Towers, and she went out when she graduated as a teacher. And in those days, it was just a short course with some nuns, and lived in mining camps with nuns, and they were teaching. So I guess I've had a lot of her stories.
So you were
a bit of adventurous.
Neil Diamond, A Sweet Caroline. Why'd you pick that?
My teenage years. It was a lot of songs came up, and it was tossing up, thinking, "Oh, which one?" But Neil Diamond's "Sweet Caroline" was the one that just kept jumping out at me.
Go for it.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Believe there never was, but now I your night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Warm, touching warm, reaching out, touching me.
That's the sort of songs I'll be playing on Sunday between 12 and 3 in Music Memories and More. So if you've got a chance, it's going to be a hot day. It'll be a great day to sit in and listen to some great music. And of course, I'll be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. But we're talking to Libby, and we're talking about her time as a teacher, or so far we've got up to the teaching anyway. So you stayed in Castlemaine, and then after that you went into special ed?
Yes, yeah.
So what made you decide to get out of mainstream teaching into special ed? Because it takes a very special person to go into that.
One of my students, actually, in Castlemaine, was deaf. And I hadn't come across anything like that before. Yeah. So I became really interested in it. And at that time, there was the Bendigo School for the Deaf, and they were running signed English classes. Right. So it's in the days before Auslan.
Yep.
And I used to go up there one night a week and learn signing, and really got quite interested in the student that I had. Was not signing, but she had verbal skills, but she had a lot of other challenges. It's probably some intellectual disability as well, but she hadn't actually been diagnosed with that. But that's, I thought, well, I'd like to study this further, and applied. I was offered a position at Melbourne Uni, but also Burwood State College, and I stuck with Burwood State College because I wanted the teaching focus.
So, all right, I can understand it with the deaf student, but then when you get into the special school, special education, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot more problems than just deaf, haven't they? So,
complex issues. Yeah,
good word.
Yeah.
So, what then? I can understand with the deaf, but then what turns you then to say, well, I really want to know about all these kids with all these other issues?
The course that I did at Burwood State College, we covered, my major was teaching deaf children, but we also did units in every other disability, physical disability, intellectual disability, autism, lots of other areas. And one of the placements that I did was in a school, it was in Glen Waverley, it was called Caranbank School for Deaf Blind.
Right.
And we were staff, very high staff ratio because of the
disabilities.
Needs in terms of communication needs. So we were staffed one teacher to two students, and I just loved my placement there. When I finished my special ed course, I got a job with the Education Department as a visiting teacher in, first of all, in Gippsland, and then I transferred to Lilydale once we were married.
So when you say a visiting teacher, was that like you'd be at a school for a day or half a day or what?
Depend on the what each student had been allocated. So I had some students that I would see four times a week and I would go maybe for a morning, and other students that would be once a week or once a month just to check in with how things were going.
All right, so how far away did you have to travel when you're in Gippsland?
I was based in Morwell, and we'd go down to Ballara and then out north of Morwell, about half an hour, yeah.
So you obviously lived up there again?
Mm-hmm.
Still as a single girl?
Yes.
I'm not trying to get your age, but I'm just trying to get at what age group you did this. So what sort of age would you have been then?
Around 26.
Still a pretty gutsy thing to move down to a place like Morwell where you wouldn't know anybody when you got there.
No, didn't know anyone. Again, I asked Mum and Dad if I could use their caravan.
This caravan's hurt itself.
I know, the caravan. And Dad was very accommodating. He's driven lots of places with my, bootfuls of things as I move around. But there were some other single staff based at the school support centre. One was a speech pathologist, and we found a house together and we rented that for a couple of months.
So how long were you down there before you transferred back?
Three terms.
Oh, that wasn't long.
Yeah,
that
wasn't long.
So then you got married when you came back. So then you went straight back, like you were still teaching?
I was able to get a transfer to Lilydale School Support Centre, so I did visiting teacher for one term. For term four, but I had applied for a more permanent position through the Education Department, and that was at Caranbank School for Deaf Blind, where I'd done a placement.
Because up to then, you'd really been based more in offices, weren't you, even though you went out to the schools?
Yes, yeah.
All right, we'll come back more. Abba, knowing me, knowing you.
Again, memories from my teenage years.
Great years. talking to Libby, and we should mention the organisation that I met her through too, which is Quilts for Orphans. Have a look on the website, have a look on Google it, or get on their Facebook page. It's a terrific organisation, so we like to support those. Now, Libby, at some stage of the game, you went to China. A, first of all, why did you go to China? And B, how long were you there?
Okay, why did we go? Well, David and I had got married in 1989, and we were looking to do something together, you know, overseas to help.
Can I just stop you for one second? I don't like to interrupt. Was he a teacher as well?
Yes, yes, he was a teacher. And when I first met David, he always said, I was looking to marry someone who was a nurse. And I would say,
I'm a teacher.
Oh, I know. I said, why is that? Because he said, well, you know, travelling overseas, teachers, you know, nursing, there's lots of positions. And I said, hang on a minute, as teachers, they're also teaching positions. So anyway, that's a bit of a funny story of our background. So we're just exploring different options, and we heard someone speak about taking like musical groups to China and entertainment as China was starting to open up in the 1980s, 1990s. But they said, really, it's nice to do cultural exchanges and take cultural groups to China, but what China really needs is English teachers. Well, David's an English teacher. I was primary teacher, and we thought, looked at each other and we thought, we could do that. So we investigated several different organisations. Yeah. One we went with called Jianhua Foundation, based in Hong Kong, started by academics in Hong Kong. Right. As China was opening, they wanted to send quality teachers to China. So
how long were you there?
We were there for 1 year, 1993-94, and our daughter Olivia was 14 months old.
When you left? So she wasn't born. She wasn't born in China.
No, she wasn't born in China.
She's still a big thing to go. So then what happened when you came back?
We came back. We just loved it. That 12 months experience. It was the challenge. It was very challenging, but we loved it. And teaching the students was just fantastic. And so we did some further study, like getting our graduate diploma in teaching English as a foreign language.
Yeah.
And eventually we went back 10 years later.
And
we had two children.
And how long were you there?
4 years.
Gee, so that's... All right, so when you came back, what did you do then?
We were both very, very fortunate. We had been teaching in the education department and... both our principals really liked us as teachers, and they kept giving us leave without pay, which was very generous of them for 4 years, and we both had jobs to come back to.
Terrific. Mm. All right, top of the world, the Carpenters.
Yes, top of the world. My husband's originally from New Zealand, so for our honeymoon we went round New Zealand, and his brother loaned us a car and lots of his tapes. And he had a lot of Carpenters tapes.
Yeah.
And so Top of the World was one of the songs that we just kept singing as we were driving around in, you know, mountainous areas in New Zealand. So that's why I've chosen it.
Sounds good. We'll come back with more. Libby, I want to come back to your teaching in a minute and just see where you wound up and how you finished, because I know you're now retired. But you've just mentioned you were driving around in New Zealand with your brother-in-law's car, I think.
Yes.
Right. What was the first car you ever bought? Just you.
A Datsun 180B.
Oh, I've heard that come up many a time.
Bright orange.
Oh, they were. So you'd have bought that to go to Castlemaine?
I'd bought it after I'd got my licence, so I'd been driving it for a little while, yeah, before I went to Castlemaine.
Fair
it
enough.
Went on the smell of an oily rag.
You wouldn't do that now.
No.
pardon me. All right, so you've come back from China now, so now you're back into, but you only ever went back into special ed, didn't you? You never
yes.
went back into what I'd call mainstream.
Mainstream, no.
So
no.
Over the period of when you came back, and I presume you had little children, you kept teaching, did you, right up until you retired?
Yes.
All right, so
yep.
So where were you in the intervening years?
Intervening years. So yep. From Caronbank, then I went to Mount Evelyn Special Developmental School, and that's now called Yarra Rangers Special Developmental School. I was there up until 2003, in October 2003, and I got a job as assistant principal at Croydon Special Developmental School.
Oh, right.
So I was in that role for 12 months, and principal position came up, so I thought...
At
the same school.
Yep.
I'd been filling in the role as a principal for 3 months. I thought, I'll get practice doing a principal application. And I was appointed and thought, oh, okay, right.
But now I've got to make it work.
Yeah.
So, and then you stayed there right through until you decided to retire.
So I retired towards the end of 2022.
And you've probably got the best job now you've ever had. You're working for the best boss yourself.
Yes.
All right, we'll just take another quick break. We've got Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon. What's the story behind that?
This was the first song that my son Zach sang as a solo. He was a Year 9 student, and he had to do a performance as part of his music studies, and he just blew us all away.
And was it at a school concert?
At a school concert.
Right, let's listen.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I
ended pretty abruptly. Libby, the special education that you got involved in, was there any... I don't know how to phrase this because I don't want it to sound mean or anything. Was there any particular disability that you found that you, well, maybe found easier to teach or that those children related to you better than other disabilities? Was there any one disability that you found easier to cope with or the children found it easier to be part of you?
That's an interesting question, Helen.
I'm not sure how I got there, Helen.
I think there were challenges with teaching and even in mainstream school, challenges with the teaching and connecting with some different students, and those challenges and the joy when you just work out what they need. Yeah. For students that I've taught in special schools, I just love the challenge of being able to try and connect
with each individual. That makes sense.
For children with the diagnosis of autism, that was extra challenging, but I always used to think, I've got to find the key to try and just unlock what's going to just connect and motivate them.
And that's exactly what my daughter says. Exactly. Yeah. Toto with Africa.
Yes, yes.
Now, surely you haven't toured in Africa.
No, I haven't toured in Africa. I chose this song because Zach and Olivia, when they were at secondary school...
Now, this is your children.
My children, yep, son and daughter. They were... they sang in a choir. And...
Together.
They were... It's quite a big, the school choir. Yep. They both sang. And the choir performed Africa, this song... several times, and every time it was just they gave really powerful performance. So even now when I hear the song Africa by Toto, I just get goosebumps because I just think of those secondary school students that just they gave fantastic performance, sang from the heart.
Let's give you goosebumps. Libby, first of all, I'd like to thank you for being part of Choice Tunes. It's been interesting to find out. I think anybody who gets involved with special ed, and I will mention I've got a daughter in it, I think is a very special person because I couldn't touch it. Anyway, there was a song that you really wanted to play, and unfortunately the internet's down, and so I can't get it. But it's a Cinderella by Stevens Curtis Chapman. Why did you put that in?
Okay, so Stephen Curtis Chapman, he's a Christian singer and songwriter. He's been doing that for about 35 years. And so in my kind of maybe mid-20s, late-20s, I had a lot of his music and I'd listen to it. Cinderella is one that I picked out because he's talking about Cinderella is a song around like father and daughter bond, and it reminded me of the bond that David, my husband, has with our daughter Olivia. But also when we were in Beijing in between 2003 and 2007, Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife Mary Beth would often come and visit. And Mary Beth is a motivational speaker. And I heard her speak. They were involved in orphanages in China. They were supporting an orphanage in Beijing. And so there's always been a bit of a connection there with Stephen Curtis Chapman. And over Christmas New Year, we had a friend of ours, American teacher friend, who's teaching in Beijing at an international school, and she came to visit. And so very cheekily, I said to her, "How much luggage are you bringing?" And she said, "Oh, one suitcase that I can bring two suitcases of 23 kilos, but I'm only coming for 10 days, so I'm travelling light." I said, "Well, if I give you another suitcase, could you take some quilts back?" Because I knew that she had connections with people with orphanages in Beijing, because we like to actually make sure the quilts get to the people. Yep. And she said, "I can do that." And so the quilts have gone to an orphanage called Maria's Big House of Hope. It's actually overseen by Stephen and Mary Beth Curtis Chapman. And Maria's Big House of Hope is named after their youngest daughter, who died tragically when she was younger. So there's been that connection there. So that's why I wanted to pop it in too.
I've got heaps of songs by Stephen Curtis Chapman. Heaps of them, but just not Cinderella.
Well, you can pick one.
Well, we'll see how we go.
Anyone.
Fleetwood Mac, Rhiannon. Why did you pick that one?
Again, from my teenage years. Again, it was one of the songs I'm thinking, like, I think her voice, Stevie Nicks, she had quite an unusual voice. It was one of my memories from my teenage years.
All right. Well, look, first of all, thank you so much for taking part in it. In Choice Tunes, we've really enjoyed having you along and finding out a bit about your life. And as I say, to be honest, anybody who gets... well, I think teachers are the salt of the earth anyway, but to get involved with special ed, I think, is just terrific. We're going to go out with Fleetwood Mac and Rhiannon, and I'll be back on Sunday between 12 and 3 and also 6 and 8 p.m. And, of course, I'll be back next Wednesday between 12 and 3 with Community Connections. Until then, this is Alan Collier saying bye.